Eric Casebolt, the police officer who resigned after his taped rough response to teens at a rowdy pool party went viral, has been called racist, violent, out of control himself. 11 other officers at the scene showed restraint. But Casebolt's lawyer says he allowed his emotions to get the better of him because just before the pool incident, he'd been called to two suicide scenes, one in which a father shot himself in front of his family and one in which a teen threatened to jump off a roof. That raised questions for us. Should he have been sent to the pool at all? And while officers are psychologically screened when they enter the force, they aren't ever again. Should they be? John Violante is a research professor at the State University of New York at Buffalo. His field is the effect of stress on officers. And Professor Violante, your thoughts on what we see on this tape after you heard that this officer had already been through two suicide cases that day.
This officer is a prime example of how stress can build. We know that officers are often exposed to traumatic events over a course of their careers. Here's an officer who's been on a job for 10 years, has probably seen a lot of traumatic incidents during that time. And we get to a point where we're no longer able to cope with these things because they have a cumulative effect, not only psychologically, but physiologically. And apparently he reached that boiling point where the trauma overtook his ability to cope with it.
Well, that's what the lawyer claims. Of course, we don't know that. We don't know anything about this case. But one can presume that having seen two suicide scenes must have been a strain at the very least. Should he have been sent to the pool? I mean, we know that if somebody uses their gun, for instance, if an officer kills someone, they are immediately taken off duty. Should he have been taken off duty after those two scenes?
I would say that he should have been. I think it's imperative that departments understand the trauma that officers go through. And this particular officer went through two suicides, and plus having to deal with the family of a man who basically shot himself in front of his family. Mm. I think they should have assigned him elsewhere other than to an explosive situation like this pool party.
Look, you researched the effect of police work on the health of police. The stories that we're seeing are talking about the effect of police on the population. But I'm looking at some of the statistics. Police officers work almost 50% non-day shift hours. That's compared to 9% of U.S. workers who have to work overnight in times like that. The suicide rates are 8 times higher in active duty officers compared to retired officers. 40% of officers that you studied were obese. That's compared to 32% of the general population. So from what you've learned about the impact of the work on police, what's the one thing you've learned that would keep those effects from further, you know, maybe negatively impacting the population? I mean, what's the one thing that you think should be done?
Well, I don't think there is one thing that we can consider. I think we need to better track the mental wellness of police officers. I think the mental state and the mental wellness of officers is very important because it's related not only to their ability to deal effectively and fairly with the public, it's also related to their health. If I feel mentally good, I'm going to take better care of myself. I'm going to watch my diet. I'm going to watch my weight. I'm going to exercise. All of those factors that lead to cardiovascular disease, I'm going to take care of. If I feel good, if I don't feel good, then those things are going to go downhill. So I think it's important to bring wellness into the training at the beginning, at the recruit level, and to reinforce that in service trainings as time goes on. The more officers understand that, the better they feel, the better they will perform, and the better they will be at the time of retirement.
And you've said that one of the ways to have psychological screening of officers is not to have them feel as if it's something that comes at the end of their work, but something that's ongoing. And part of that is peer-to-peer?
Yes, I think peer support is a good way to deal with this. And the reason I think that is that an officer would rather speak to another police officer who's trained in peer support first, before he or she might consider going to a psychologist or going for outside help. And the reason is that there's a bond of trust between officers. This way, it can be, if there is a small problem, it can be taken care of and before it gets a bigger problem. If the problem is too big for the peer support person to handle. They're not professionals. They establish networks of psychologists who know police work to send officers to.
Yeah.
One other thing I think that's been brought up recently is the idea of a mental wellness check every year where the officer might go to a peer support person and once a year check in for mental wellness with this peer support person to tell them if anything's gone on over the past year.
That's John Violante, a research professor at the Department of Epidemiology and Environmental Health at the State University of New York at Buffalo, a former state cop whose work is researching the health of the officer. Professor, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
A mental health check-in every year. Here Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Robin Young.
And I'm Lisa Mullins. This is Here and Now.